This morning, I would like to talk about what our roles are as believers, husbands, wives, fathers, and mothers, what our roles are given to us by God. And designed through him and by him. First, I was going to start with the reading, but I want to go a little further, and we'll start in the very beginning. Genesis, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll start with verse 26 through 28, and then we'll do our reading. Genesis 1, verse 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Genesis 2, we'll start with verse 18. In Genesis 2, we start with verse 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man be, that the man should not be alone. I will make him a helpmate. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what we would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God hath taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Ye shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife were not ashamed." And they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There shall be one. The role of a wife is clearly described in the Bible. Although male and females are equal in relationship to Christ, the Bible gives specific roles to both the husband and the wife in marriage. As a wife, they are given these roles, among others, certain roles. Let's turn to Titus. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed." Let's turn to 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by conversation of the wives. Turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 11. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. So the three things that I could come up with that are for wives and mothers are to be mentors, witnesses, and I think the most important, and that goes for husbands and wives, but mostly to me, mothers, as examples to their children. Because we all learn what we are taught growing up. And we all learn mostly from our mothers. Our fathers are their disciplinarians to a point. But the mothers need to be examples to their children and also to the ecclesia as the fathers. There is a design order of the family unit. You know, this all comes from scripture. If I was reading this outside in the world, I'd have probably already been shut down and booed and thrown off the stage. But this is coming from the scriptures. This is designed for a reason. And when this design, when human feelings come in and try to change the design of what God is trying to do, that causes disruption. It causes disruption in the family, causes disruption in the ecclesia, it causes disruption throughout. That's why the world is so in chaos, because they think they got it. The world thinks they figured it out. You know, we'll take a couple verses out of the Bible and it's God loves everyone. You hear that all the time. God loves everyone. Of course he loves, but he's also a jealous God. God wants what he wants. And that's the things that the worldly people don't see that we should see. That there is a design for the family. It's an order. It's a unit. If that unit is not done exactly the way God has described it in Scripture, there's problems. It shows throughout the scriptures. When you don't obey God, when Israel, he's going to punish. That's what he does. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow. Could be your children, it could be a family member. But we have to understand what our roles are. It doesn't demean anything that a mother, which I'll get into, I just want to make sure before I get started, that I'm not demeaning anyone. By no means am I demeaning anyone. But we also need to understand the roles that we each other have in the ecclesia. When studying the role of the wife in the Bible, it is important to understand how God designed the family unit. There are ranks described: Christ, the husband, the wife, and then the children. You would not expect to walk into a doctor's office and be greeted by the doctor and then measured and weighed by the receptionist and then treated by the nurse. There are certain orders to things because that's what works. It's the same with God's design in the family unit. It works smoothly when done his way, not our way. His way. God designed the husband as the leader of the home. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Let's also turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, ecclesia, and he is the savior of the body. The Bible describes this leadership as loving, not dictatorial, not condescending or patronizing of his wife or children. In fact, a husband's leadership is compared to Jesus' love for the ecclesia. The love is one of mercy, forgiveness, compassion, and selflessness. Also in Ephesians 5, we'll read 25 through 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the ecclesia and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5 speaks of the wife's role in the marriage. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, ecclesia, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the ecclesia is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let's also turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. This also reiterates the concept. Verses 18 through 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. We've all run across it, being married. The act of forgiveness, the act of letting things go is very hard for us. We tend to want to hold on to things. We tend to grasp onto them. I've done it. And it's hard. But we have to learn to lessen our hearts and to be able to forgive, because true forgiveness means your heart is lightened. It's let God take care of it. Pray unto God. Turn to Scripture. I was given many scriptures a year and a half ago, and I tell you, it really, really helps. And I know we read scriptures every day, but there are certain scriptures that I think when you're in a certain area that you could read that really strengthen not only your faith, but just strengthen it every day to remember that you're not alone. We're not alone in this. You know, if you take this on your own, you will be alone. If you take this and decide that you know more than God, you're going to change his design, you will be alone. It's going to be a lonely day for you. But if you decide to let God handle it and be patient, things will work out. And from these verses, we see that love and respect characterize the roles of both husband and wives. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to read verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, that he shall love, that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, and she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapered, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. The opening of her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of the hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. When you respect your husband, you reverence him, which means a deep respect. You notice him, you regard him, you honor him, and you prefer him. You also esteem him. It means valuing his opinion, admiring his wisdom and character, appreciating his commitment to you, and considering his needs and values. Let's turn back to Titus. Titus 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Titus 2, verses 1 through 10. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good thing. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing incorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity. sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. While marriage is to involve mutual love and submission between two believers, let's turn to back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. There's four passages in the New Testament expressly give to wives the responsibility to submit to their husbands. I know we've read them before, but we're going to read them again. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Titus 2, verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. First Peter chapter 3. Actually, we'll do Colossians. We'll do Colossians 3, I'm sorry. Colossians 3, verse 18. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. We'll also continue. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. So it works both ways. We all have roles that we're to follow. This voluntary submission is of one equal to another, is an expression of love for God and a desire to follow his design as revealed in his word. It is never to be pictured as demeaning or in any way diminishing the wife's equality. We've already read that. Wives and mothers are urged to be workers at home, meaning managers of the household, their home and their children are to be their first priority. Men and women stand as equals before God, both bearing the image of God himself. However, without making one inferior to the other, God calls upon both men and women to fulfill the roles and responsibilities specially designed for them. In fulfilling the divinely given roles taught in the New Testament, women are able to realize their full potential because they are following the plan of their own creator and designer. Only in the obedience to God will the fullest sense of glory be given to him. Close with the reading of 1 Peter. First Peter 3, 3 and 4. First Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Thank you.